We'll be looking at the message of Jesus to the church in Sardis. And this we are in Revelation chapter 3. And, you know, one of the things that God, or rather Christ, works in us is that he rebukes us, you know, and he sends us messages from time to time that are there to, you know, to assess us, to check us, to reflect, so that, and it's mostly out of love, you know, and just as a father, you know, disciplines his child, then also God disciplines those that he loves. And this is something that we always read in Hebrews chapter 12, that anyone that God accepts as a son, he disciplines, and there is no one that God, anyone that does not undergo discipline is an illegitimate child. And this tells us that we are children of God and we are sons of God if God from time to time, he checks us, he reflects on us, and he gives us either stern warnings or places of areas that we need to correct. And you know, the Bible tells us that no discipline given at that moment is sweet, but in the end it yields a harvest of righteousness and peace. And so the end result of God's discipline, the end result of God's you know, God's work in our hearts is that he wants us to be more righteous, a harvest of righteousness, and also a place of peace. You know, righteousness, yes, is right standing before God. I mean, it's there's positional righteousness, which is what Christ has done. And then there is also what is called progressive righteousness, which is gradually and continually we are being made holy. We are being made sanctified, sanctification. We are continually being made more like God. Positionally is what Christ has done, and nothing and no one can ever make us righteous or can do anything that will make us more righteous or less righteous than what Christ has done. But progressively, we grow into that holiness. We grow into that place of sanctification. And as we consecrate ourselves, as we submit ourselves to the dealings of God, as we submit ourselves to the place of instruction, to the place of being ministered to in the Word of God, then we are taught of God, and God is able to remove the things, the impurities that are in our hearts, the things that are blocking the flow of God. And one of the things that God says, if we judge ourselves, then we will not come under judgment, you know. So the first place of judgment usually is actually ourselves, and God calls us to the place where we need to check ourselves. And that's where he says that if anyone is standing, let him take heed that he does not fall. You know, so there's a place of self-check. There's a place where we need to examine ourselves. And first of all, when we first examine ourselves, then we don't come under judgment. But then you see there's still also that which are called secret sins, or which are unconscious sins or undisclosed sins. And these are things that God will be able to shine his light in our hearts. And through the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, when the Helper comes, he shall not speak of his own, but he shall convict the world of sin and of judgment, you know, and of righteousness, because he comes to remind us and to show us areas that where we have failed him and areas where we have fallen apart. And the beauty of God is that if we confess our sins, the Bible says, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and purify us from all unrighteousness. So God is always ready to forgive us. He's always ready to bring us back to that place of authority. He's always ready to bring us back to the place of intimacy. But all he calls for us is our, not only our confession, but also our repentance. Because confession is easy. You know, when you say, I am sorry, it's just like a child. When a child does something wrong, it is very easy to say, I am sorry. But you see, repentance goes beyond just saying I'm sorry. It becomes a change of mind, a change of thinking, and where someone makes an about turn, you know, where someone makes a 180 degrees turn and is able to go back in a different direction. If you're going north, then you turn south. So that is a place where is repentance. So, you know, when we look at the what we call the school of the spirit, discipline is part of it, and rebuke is part of it, and what we see in Revelation chapter 3, which you're going to read, and we're going to read from verse 1 to 6, and we're going to see God's rebuke to the church of Sardis. And the Bible says, unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. Now he says, I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Now, even just to pause there, we're seeing that, first of all, that Christ is the one that is speaking, and he's saying he has the seven spirits of God, or which is a sevenfold spirit of God. And this is something that we've looked at, was the seven spirit of God, Isaiah 61, where it says the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of just of might, the spirit of counsel, you know, the various aspects of the spirit of God. And he has the seven stars, which represents the seven churches. And he says, I know your works, that you have a reputation, a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Now, this is a church that was active, you know, that was doing a lot of things, that had a lot of, you know, programs, you know, up and down activities, doing this, doing that, adding this, adding that, and running around. But yet to God, when he looked at them, he says that you are dead. You have a reputation. You have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. And then verse 2, he says, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. Now, keywords here is telling them to be watchful. That means that it is possible that you know, one can be running up and down, up and down, up and down, and yet you slowly move away from your place of watching. What is a place of watching? What the place of watching is actually the place of prayer. You see that you've not kept your watch. If you look at how the word puts it, you know that be watchful. God is really after watchmen. You know, when he says, I have placed watchmen in your walls, O Jerusalem, you who call on the name of the Lord, do not give him rest. You call on the Lord day and night. There is a place for watching. There is a place that God has placed by right also, or also by consecration, men who are responsible for places, men who are responsible for cities, men who are responsible for nations. And when God has placed you in that place of prayer, you might think it's nothing, but you see, your prayer covers a territory. Your prayer covers a people. Like, let's say if you're a leader of a church, or you're a, you know, over your family, your place of prayer is your place of watching. And by your watching, you cover, you know, those that are under your care, those are under your responsibility. And he says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. Now, the church in Sardis, they were busy with activity. They had works, yes. But then they also had a reputation. They had a name. But to God, they were dead. And now God is telling them that, guys, come back, come back, come back, come back to your place of prayer. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remains. Why? Because with God, you know, the mercy of God is always that even when things are not okay, he always leaves his deposit. He always leaves something in us or something small that still has the life of God, that he tells you that if you just awaken that fire, you know, it's like a fire that is going out. If you just blow onto it, if you just ask the Spirit to blow that wind, and if we come to the place of repentance, if we come to the place of recommitment, if we come to the place of looking at the things that are dying, that are ready to die, and he says, strengthen the things which remain, in that I don't leave you without witness, I don't leave you without a remnant. There is a thing that still remains. Strengthen that are ready to die, and he says, for I have not found your works perfect before God. That means that there are still aspects that are missing. And then he says, remember, verse 3, therefore how you have received and heard. Now what is he telling them? Go back to the message you first heard. Go back to the place where you first believed. Go back to those initial messages. Go revisit your life. Revisit what it was that you heard first, that what God spoke to your heart when you first believed. Revisit the things that you used to do from the onset. Go back to that place where it was you and God, where he gave you the joy, where he gave you the strength, where he gave you the authority, where it was a joy, where it was a delight to do his disciplines, where you will spend time with him, where you will spend time to pray, where you will fast consistently. Go back to that place, because it's easy, you know, usually after someone has gone through, you know, a long period, it's easy to feel like, oh, I've done enough for the year, you know, I've done this, the fasting that I did, oh, I already finished the 40 days, now I can rest. It is very easy to go worse. It's just like, you can imagine, like people who go to the gym, you know, like they can go to the gym, yes, they can build muscles, let's say for 40 years. But then the day they stop, what happens is that you realize that they lose shape. All those muscles that had been built starts to be filled with fat, and it becomes worse. They are worse than they were than those who had not even gone in the first place. Now, the Bible, when Paul was talking to Timothy, he compared the spiritual training or spiritual discipline to godliness, I mean to exercise. And he says bodily exercise profits little, but godliness profits for all things. You know, there is profit in godliness. And in that comparison, we see that also in spirituality, it is okay to be up in the mountain. And that's a challenge that we all have, that we struggle with. We go up the mountain, but then when we come down even lower than where we started from before climbing. Now that tells us that God is calling us to that place, to come back to that message that we first received, to come back to that place where we were, to that thing that strengthened us, to that thing that gave us hope, to that which we received, to that salvation message. By grace, not of our own works, where it is he that helps us, it is he that guides us, it is he that speaks to us. And he says, remember therefore how you have received and heard, hold fast. Your job is to do it. Hold fast and repent. And we've spoken that watch, the things that he's telling us is watch, strengthen that which remains. Remember what you have received and heard, hold fast and repent. And he says, therefore, if you will not watch, and this is really the core, watching. If you will not watch, if you're not careful to see, if you're not careful to self-check, if you're not careful to be sensitive to the rebukes of the Lord, to be sensitive to his voice calling us back to that place of intimacy, to the closeness that we had. It says, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. You know, the sadly is many people are asleep, and many of us are asleep. And what happens is when we sleep, the Bible says, while men slept, the enemy came and planted tares. And then when the plant came out, there was weeds and there was a plant. The tares had grown up. And the master was like, someone was like, let us go and remove them. Let us go and remove the weeds. And the master said, no, don't do it now. Because if you do it, you'll also uproot the good. Now, the place of sleeping is not physical sleep, but spiritual sleep. He says, therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Verse 4, he says, yet you have a few names in Sardis who have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. The beauty of God is he always keeps his remnant. He always keeps. A whole church can be asleep, and yet only one person God has kept as a remnant to just keep that light in that place. And some you'll wonder, but God, why is no one, you know, seeing this? It's because God still keeps his remnant. And I pray that we will be that remnant. He says that who have not defiled their garments, who have not soiled their garments, they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. And he says, he who overcomes. What is overcoming? Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, being and living, continuing in that place of intimacy, continuing in that place of trusting in God, continuing in that place of holding fast to that which we received. That means that if you are being thrown away, like if the car is moving fast with that seatbelt, holding fast, he who overcomes, holding fast to the message, shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life. There's a book of life, and God is saying, he that overcomes, he that stays believing, he that conquers, he that stays victorious, I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. And he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Indeed, that's just what God has placed in my heart for us this morning, and I pray that God will speak to us the areas that we need to strengthen, the areas that have died, things that need to come back to life, and in his mercy, he is able to restore. And he says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to purify us from all unrighteousness. And he restores that fellowship. He restores that fellowship. He restores that fellowship. And we, as we said before, his discipline and his rebuke is to those he loves. To those I love, I rebuke. To those I accept as sons, I chasten. That is the word of the Lord, and may God's name be praised. My brother, you're welcome.
Thanks, Sir. Indeed, the word is timely. Yeah. And it's a great reminder. As you're preaching, I was just remembering some good people. And we get familiar and take things for granted. Sometimes we think, as you said, that we have done enough already, forgetting that we live in a world of constant battles, constant fights. I think it's a good reminder that we should never let our guard down. We should always keep on guard and on watch. Some of us are in positions of responsibility, you know? And once you're not on watch, on guard, everyone behind you affected. So thanks for that, and
amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. I come before you. We come before you. I myself too, and just to plead your mercy, O God. Indeed, we have failed in many ways, and your word comes to convict us that we need to self-check. We need to reflect on where we have failed, where we have not kept watch, and indeed the things that are about to die, the things that are dead, and you've called us to remember, to go back to the message and to hold fast and to repent and to strengthen that which remains. I thank you that you are full of mercy and grace, and yet your mercy is not a license for us just to do what we want, but it is a strength and enablement to be and to follow after your ways, O God. I pray for grace. I pray for your mercy. I pray for new direction. I pray for new guidance. Help us that, Lord, we stand watch. We pray for wisdom. We pray for guidance. We pray for the ability to stay watchful, O God, that indeed nothing will go wrong. Indeed, while we are there, O God, may your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. We remember our family members. Remember our loved ones. Remember the church. Remember indeed our workplaces, O God. We remember every area of responsibility that you've placed in our hands, O God. And may we be found faithful to honor and to be faithful to you, O God. You that sees all things. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Shalom, and have a blessed, blessed morning. Bye.